I was doing some reading before or this week, and I read across an article where a pastor said he went to a church and he said, open your Bibles to whatever it was, Acts chapter 9, and he didn't hear any pages turning or anything. Well, I'm deaf. I don't hear pages turning anyway, but it's good to look in the Bible to see if I'm making this stuff up. And I know now we've got it on smartphones and all that, so don't be playing games, but use your Bible program to kind of follow along. Today, we want to look at Saul and Barnabas and a couple other folks, and look at some of the things in their lives. And I really, I hope I can put this in some kind of decent order for you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do pray now that you would give me the words to say, help me to recall and order the things that need to be said that would help your people tonight. We pray for your spirit to move in a mighty way. It's your word that we're looking at and reading and studying. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to do the work tonight. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We want to look at Saul and Barnabas and several other folks tonight to see how they worked in the early church, how they worked together, and how they helped one another. If we look in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters from Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. The people he was looking for, the Bible says of this way, he's talking about Christians, people that believed that Jesus was the Christ. Saul was looking for those folks. And if we look back just for a little bit of history in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, and they cast out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Look at verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting to his death. In verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. So this Saul was a terror to the local church, to the new church that was being formed and grown. And by the way, it's Jesus' church, and Jesus was building his church, and Saul was he couldn't stand it. He was putting people in jail and threatening, and Bible says slaughter, so I guess he was killing people too. He was causing a lot of trouble, and quite naturally, the Christians wouldn't want too much to do with him. They would want to stay out of his way. So he must have gotten word that things were going on in Damascus, because he wanted to go up there and arrest people that believed that Jesus was the Christ. He got permission to go. And Damascus, according to what I found, was 136 air miles from Jerusalem to Damascus. It was a 5 or 6 day journey, so he was on his journey. And if we look at the next few verses there, verse 3, Acts 9, verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men that which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat or drink. Now, Saul and his party were traveling. This was daylight. I'm assuming the sun was shining, but no matter what, even in a cloud day in the middle of the day, in another verse he says that it was about noon. Can you imagine how bright the bright light was that hit Paul and Saul and his companions there that put them to the ground? Our Lord is light. He is bright light. He is he appeared to Saul and told him who he was. Can you imagine? You're one of these guys raising havoc with the church. You're having your way. You're whipping people. You're beating them. You're putting them in jail. And all of a sudden, you run into the master. You run into Jesus. And you find out you're not so big and tough anymore. You're just, when he met Jesus, he was blinded and knocked to the ground, put to the ground. You know, he fell to the ground, not knocked, but fell to the ground. When we see Jesus, we're going to fall at his feet. We're going to fall at his feet and worship him. Who knows? In eternity, it doesn't matter. It just goes on and on and on. We might be at his feet 10,000 years. We might be there 30 seconds. Who knows? But when we see him, we'll fall at his feet. Saul fell at Jesus' feet. Jesus spoke to him and said, This is what I want you to do. And he got up. He was blinded. He had to be held by the hand and led to a house where they could stay. So Saul met Jesus on that road. He had the choice of doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Because in another scripture, he says that he was obedient to God's call. He was obedient to the heavenly calling. And he did what the Lord told him to do. Now, Saul had a fateful start. In verse 18, Acts 9, verse 18, and immediately when there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, as he received sight forthwith, he arose and was baptized. First thing he did, we're going to come back to Ananias in a minute, but when Saul was, his sight was restored, first thing he did, he was obediently baptized. Baptism shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It also identifies you with the church of Jesus Christ. To be a member here, you must be baptized, immersed in water. It identifies you with the church. It identifies you with Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. First thing he did. Second thing in Acts chapter 9 and verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and Saul was with, and then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. The very people that he was persecuting were the ones that he began spending time with. He changed his association of who he spent time with. So he was spending time with new Christians. And in verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God. So he had a faithful start. He was baptized. He was strengthened physically with food. He was strengthened spiritually by fellowshipping with fellow Christians there at Damascus with the disciples, and then he started preaching. So he had a good start. But we want to look, too, at some folks that had an influence on him, on Saul. First is Ananias. Just think, if you were Ananias and God came to you, the Lord came to you and said, I want you to go over and talk to Saul. Ananias said, wait a minute, Lord. Let's think about this a minute. That's me saying that, not a direct quote. But the Lord told him he wanted him to go see Saul. Ananias said, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Notice in verse 17, the first words that Ananias said to Saul, down in the middle of the verse, Brother Saul. Ananias heard the Lord speaking to him. He was obedient to that. He knows, or he saw how God could change hearts. I like that verse. I think it's in 1 Corinthians. And such were some of you. God, the Lord lists off all those terrible, horrible sins, and such were some of you. Ananias saw the changes that God could make in a heart, in a man's heart. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared to me unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So Ananias helped Saul along the way by being obedient to the Lord. And then there were some others helped Saul. And you might say, well, that wasn't nothing to that. In verse 25, and then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in the basket. Saul had been preaching already, and he had stirred up some anger, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. They were guarding the gates, and he couldn't get out, couldn't go through the gate. So the disciples solved that problem. There was this nameless, faceless somebody, disciples, were holding the ropes to let him down through the wall. They went out through a window in the wall, let him down in a basket. It takes all of us working together, different projects, different jobs, different skills, different abilities to keep the Lord's church, to do the work of the Lord. It takes all kinds of us to do it with different skills. Then there was Barnabas. Barnabas helped Saul out a lot. He in verse 26, Saul went to Jerusalem, and he wanted to join with the disciples there, but like Ananias and the disciples at Damascus, they were kind of afraid because they knew Saul's reputation. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas stood up for Saul, stood alongside of him, put Barnabas's reputation on the line that Saul was who he said he was. He's now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is he's worthy to have fellowship with. He's one of us now. The Lord saved him, changed him, made him a preacher of the gospel, and Barnabas stood up for him. As we live our lives, sometimes we have to do that to other people. We have to encourage folks and say, come on, let's go. Let me help you here and help us, help one another to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. we are not all called to be preachers or full-time Christian workers in the sense of paid staff, but we're full-time Christians. And all of us stumble and fall and have our setbacks and our strengths and weaknesses, so we need each other to help each other along, to help us, strengthen us, to tell us when we're right and tell us when we're wrong. Barnabas was a help, and I'm the only thing between y'all and eating. And if I'm looking at that clock right, I got 3 minutes before you get up and walk out on me. But I had a lot of information on Barnabas, but Barnabas was the kind of guy that had a good reputation. He loved the Lord. He was a disciple there in Cyprus, and he sold land. He was a giver. He wasn't money hungry. He was a giver to help other folks and help other Christians. He gave the price of his land. He worked with Saul, and when God called him, he called Barnabas and Saul. But as you read through Acts, it switches over, and Paul becomes the primary lead person, and Barnabas helps him, or is there with him. And you read a little further, they went on mission trips together. They served together, and then on the next trip, they were going to take Mark with them, or Barnabas wanted to take Mark. Well, that was quite an argument there, so we had two mission teams instead of one. But if you follow Mark's history, you'll find that he left on one missionary trip. He said, for whatever reason, we don't know. We just don't know. But Barnabas was kind and gracious to him and said he saw some potential in Mark and took Mark, and they went on a trip together. If you study Mark, you'll find out that he served a lot of time with Peter, learning from Peter and working with Peter, and he also wrote the Gospel of Mark. So Barnabas was the kind of guy that helped others along. He helped Saul, he helped Mark, and who knows how many other people along the way. So I guess the whole point of it is Jesus needs every one of us serving him in the capacity that he would have us to serve. One of the nicest things that we've done in the last year was we went to visit my friend Jerry Boyce. We were able to go into church and sit down and enjoy the service, enjoy the Sunday school and the preaching, and get up and leave. That was so nice. But it doesn't work that way. When we're at home in our church, we need to be helping and doing and working together, not against one another, but working together for the cause of Christ. There's opportunities in Vacation Bible School. There's opportunities to help to be assistant teachers. And there's just all kinds of things. You just have to open your eyes and look. So I appreciate your time today. Hopefully we've encouraged you some in service of the Lord. And we'll have our invitation.